James 3, verses 1 to 12. Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue is also a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body and sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue we can praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. This is the precious word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, good morning. It's really nice to see everyone, and it's really nice to be seen. I'd like to just start with a verse. Actually, it's a prayer, I think. And so if you just pray with me. So, Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this day and actually each day of the week, Lord. We thank you for the life that you give. And, Lord, and the life that lives in each one of us, which is your Holy Spirit through your Son, Jesus. And, Lord, we just pray, Lord, as we look at these verses here that your Son, James, has given us, Lord, to teach us about how we should live and how we can draw closer to you, Lord. Lord, we pray that we can take these words and put them into action in our lives. Lord, we ask this through your Son, Jesus. Amen. I think there's a slide that'll come up. Oh, it's me. Sorry, there we go. Okay, looking to the back there, so. Okay, anyway, a question actually for all of you now that I'm on track here. It says, have you ever heard of the word spoonerism? It's an interesting word. You may not have heard the term, but you have probably most likely made the mistake. A spoonerism is when you inadvertently switch the beginning of words in a statement. A spoonerism is named after the Reverend William Archibald Spooner, a warden at Oxford University, who regularly botched up his words when he was speaking. For instance, in one class, Reverend Spooner was trying to say, "The Lord is a loving shepherd." But instead, what came out of his mouth was, "The Lord is a shoving leopard." On another occasion, he was reprimanding one of his students. And he wanted to say to this student, he says, "You've wasted two terms." But instead, what came out of his mouth was, "You've tasted two worms." That's a spoonerism. Now, getting your tongue twisted and committing a spoonerism may be embarrassing, but it is by no means the worst thing that you could do. The third chapter of James is dedicated almost exclusively to the subject that is in everybody's mouth. It's dedicated to our tongue. In this chapter, James reminds us that our tongue is the most dangerous part of our body, and he warns us about the mess that can be caused by that menace that's in our mouth, the tongue. Though your tongue is a small member of the body, it is by no means a small matter in your spiritual life. Verse 5, James says, "The tongue is a small part of your body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by such a small spark. Unless you never open your mouth to speak, the truth of this passage will certainly apply to each one of us. Let's look at what James has to say about that menace that lives in our mouth. Let's look, first of all, beginning in verse 2. James says, "We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check." James concedes that none of us are even close to being sinless. We all fail in many ways. Yet he says that if a man were able to keep himself from sinning in the things that he says, that man will have made great strides in his character of life. In other words, if we could keep our tongues clean from sin and controlled by the Spirit, it would go a long ways toward our effort to live a Christ-like life. It ought to be our prayer, then, that our tongues would be holy rather than harmful. A sanctified tongue would mean a couple of important things in our life. First of all, it would mean that there is maturity in our life, maturity that declares, as in verse 2. James says, "If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man." Notice the word perfect. It does not mean perfect in the sense of being without sin or having no faults or flaws. The word perfect literally means to be complete. What James is saying is that if a person reaches that point where their tongue has been sanctified and does not cause him to sin, that man has reached a level of spiritual maturity. If you go to a doctor for a physical checkup, one of the first things that doctor will do is ask you to stick out your tongue. And the reason why he does that is because your tongue reveals how your health is. Likewise, if you want to know how you are doing in your growth as a believer, check your tongue. The less your tongue causes you to sin, and the more it compliments your Savior, the further along you are on your journey with Jesus. It's desirable to have a sanctified tongue, not only because of the maturity that it declares, but also because of the mastery that it develops in your life. James makes an almost incredible statement here in verse 2. He says that if a man could so sanctify his tongue that he did not sin with it, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. Literally, James is saying that the whole body could be controlled if we can control our tongue. James illustrates this with two simple pictures. The first picture is this, the bridle. He says in verse 3, when we put bits into the mouths of horses, we can turn the whole animal. And then the second picture that James illustrates this with is in verse 4. He says, or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by the strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. The point James is making is that though the tongue is a small part of our body, getting control of it literally leads to the control of every other aspect of our body. Think of it that if you could ever control your tongue, your eyes, your ears, your hands, your feet, your mind would all be under control if you can control your tongue. That is why, as we see in verse 5, James says, though the tongue may be small, it has room to boast because of how important it is and how influential it is over the whole of our lives. A tongue that is brought under the control of the Holy Spirit is a desirable thing. On the other hand, a tongue that is left loose and unbridled is dangerous and a devastating thing. In this text, James vividly describes the hazards of a tongue that is free to speak as it pleases. Notice how James describes how destructive the tongue can be. In the latter part of verse 5, James says, consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The illustration is clear. It only takes a spark to burn down a whole forest. A little fire can start a raging inferno. In verse 6, we read, "The tongue is also a fire. Just as one spark can be destructive, likewise one fiery word can destroy everything in its path." In the early hours of the morning of September 2nd, 1666, the Great Fire of London breaks out at the baker's house for King Charles II. It started in Pudding Lane near London Bridge. When the Great Fire was extinguished 4 days later, on September 6th, more than four-fifths of the city of London, that's 80%, more than four-fifths of the city was destroyed. Miraculously, only 16 people were known to have died. The point is that one little spark, one little word of gossip, one single critical comment, a short angry insult can easily ignite into a burning controversy that destroys individual lives. It destroys families, it destroys reputations, and even destroys whole churches. A sinful tongue is also dangerous because of how defiling it can be. Look again at verse 6. James says that the tongue is a world of evil among the parts of the body. Literally, the tongue is its own universe of sin. The sin associated with the tongue is so vast and so far-reaching that James goes on to say that it corrupts the whole person and sets the whole course of life on fire. Take note of the phrase, "the course of life." It's a difficult phrase to translate, but it basically means the wheel of life. Imagine that your life is represented by a wheel, and at the hub of that wheel is your tongue, or the things that you say. James seems to be pointing to the fact that a fire started by your tongue quickly spreads to the other areas of your life. The point is that a sinful tongue can ruin and defile your whole life. For instance, a lying tongue can break down every relationship or destroy every opportunity that you have. And then don't miss this part of verse 6. James says this. He says, itself set on fire by hell. So this tongue, he's saying, is itself set on fire by hell. Literally, the fuel that feeds our fiery tongue, James says, comes from the pit of hell. Whenever we say things that are harmful, hateful, and hurtful, we have allowed our tongues to be instruments of the devil. Understanding the devastating potential that rests in that little organ called the tongue, can we ever deal casually or carelessly with it? But not according to James. He says in verse 8 that no man can tame the tongue. It's a restless evil, full of deadly poison. The fact of the matter is that there is almost no such thing as a safe tongue. No one will ever reach the point on this side of heaven where they will no longer have to watch what they say. Why is it so difficult to have a safe and reliable tongue? James tells us why. First of all, because you can't tame your tongue. Look again at verse 7. It says, James gives us another word picture. He says all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man. So the strongest animals have been harnessed by man and used for work. The wildest of beasts have been tamed and subdued by mankind. Yet, in spite of these amazing feats, James says this in verse 8, "But no man can tame the tongue." No one has ever mastered his own tongue to the point that it was completely under his control. You may bite your tongue, you may even hold your tongue, but you will never completely tame your tongue. Just when you think that you've got a hold of of your tongue. Somehow it gets loose, and before you know it, it has sparked a fire bigger than you can ever control. There is a story I've always liked, I heard when I was a child. It was from an old headstone in America, and it reads this. It simply says, beneath this stone, a lump of clay, lies Arabella Young, who on the 24th of May began to hold her tongue. Try as you may, your tongue will never be silent in the grave before you will ever tame it in your mouth. It is difficult to have a safe tongue because, as James says, no man can tame the tongue. Notice something else, though. A safe and harmless tongue is difficult, but not only because you can't tame it, but also because you can't trust your tongue. Look at what else James says in verse 8. He says the tongue is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. The word restless describes something that is ungovernable. It's hard to control, and it's hard to keep down. He also says that this hard-to-control tongue is full of deadly poison. I can't help but when I think of that, I get a picture of a snake about ready to strike and unleash its venom. But I know that not all snakes are venomous, but there's a sense in which they all seem unpredictable and dangerous. We can never afford to be relaxed or lazy with our tongues. You can never assume your tongue is going to behave itself. In spite of how wild and wicked our tongues can be, while it is difficult to have a safe tongue, it's not impossible to have a safe tongue. Look again at verse 8. James says, but no man can tame the tongue. But note that no man has the ability to tame the tongue. However, what is impossible with man is possible with God. The Holy Spirit can tame the most violent and venomous of tongues. With that in mind, I'd like us to read this verse from Psalms. It's Psalm 141 and verse 3. The psalmist writes, set a guard over my mouth, O Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips. We should desire a controlled tongue. We should pray that the Lord would control our mouths, overcome our dangers and destructive tongues, and use them instead for his glory. That kind of tongue has the potential to minister rather than menace. With Charles Wesley, let us pray in our hearts this, the verses from one of his songs. He says this, oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of his grace. Amen.